So you gather together with family and friends and decide to play a new table game that somebody has brought. Not everyone understands the rules, including you. As the game progresses, many mistakes are made. Someone declares that this first time through must now be considered a practice round. Somebody else seconds it. You wind up winning the game. Everyone declares, it didn't count. You sit there with some sense of kind of loss, even though you won. How would you like to be in heaven and it's your turn to receive your rewards at the Bema Seat of Christ? And the rewards and the glory that's supposed to go to God from what you've done seems to be way short of what you expected for all the years of serving God. And you ask, hey, what about all those years of whatever? And the response is, oh, they didn't count. And now you want to know why. One of the many troubling scripture warnings in the New Testament was given by Jesus in Matthew 7, 21 to 23. Remember that one where it talked about, didn't we do these things in your name, drive out demons and do these miracles? And he says, I never even knew you. In other words, that didn't count. In this particular case, it included their eternal salvation that did not count. Before Christ's sacrificial offering on the cross by his own blood for the sins of all mankind, God had set up a temporary system. And these sacrifices that they gave was called an atonement, which meant to cover over. It didn't really eliminate sin, it just covered them so that God could have a temporary relationship with them until the complete acceptable sacrifice of Christ was completed, and then we'd have full access to God, which we do today. The limits were set up in the form of the Mosaic Law. Hebrews 10:8 said, first God said, sacrifices and offerings, burnt offerings and sin offerings I did not desire, nor were pleased with them, even though they were offered in accordance to the law. In other words, it didn't count. God lives in a world of giving. God likes to give. God's nature and character is one of giving. Of course, if it wasn't, we wouldn't even be sitting here today enjoying anything about the life that we have. But God desires us to be like him and give. But what if some of our giving doesn't count? In Leviticus 22, God wrote a whole chapter telling mankind what he considered to be unacceptable offerings. There's New Testament offerings as well for us in the born-again Christ covenant. We would like them to count, because it brings, first of all, eternal glory to God. And second of all, there is eternal treasure to us, which I'm not quite sure what that is, but it's going to be good. In Matthew 10:42, Jesus said, if anyone gives even a cup of cold water to one of these little ones who is my disciple, truly I tell you, that person will certainly not lose their reward. Today's modern translation would probably put in juice box or popsicle there. In Romans 12:1 and 1 Peter 2:5, it says, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. You also, like living stones, are being built into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, offering spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. It would be nice to know what counts and what doesn't count so we could make our adjustments. Sacrifice comes from the Latin Bible translation from sacra, which we get the word sacred, or really it means holy, and facere, which means to do or to be or to make. But it includes both the act and the attitude. Technically, the word offering was the actual thing you offered, and the sacrifice was the ritual that you went through. The sacrifice was the delivering of the offering. But today we kind of made them synonyms, interchangeable, and I think that's okay. But sacrifice meant it had to be something in a holy category, which was pure. It was perfect. It had to be in that kind of status. And somehow, the Bible says it's able to be converted or perverted into an unholy category, even though it looks like it's being done for God. There was a couple of examples in the scriptures that qualified. Hebrews 13:16 said, "Do not forget to do good and share with others, for with such sacrifices God is pleased." Hebrews 13:15, "Through Jesus, therefore, let us continually offer to God a sacrifice of praise, the fruit of our lips that openly profess his name." Ephesians 5:2 says, "Walk in the way of love, just as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God." And of course, you remember that the Holy Spirit said 2017, the theme is going to be love. 2 Corinthians 9:7, "Each of you should give what you've decided in your heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver." One day early in Billy Graham's ministry, he was in church. They had a young family. They didn't have a lot of money. They were sitting there, and it was time for the offering plate to come by. He had a $1 bill, and he had a higher denomination bill in his wallet. And so the offering plate came by, and he reached in and grabbed what he thought was the $1 bill and tossed it in. And then to his shock, as it's going away, he sees that he accidentally grabbed the higher denomination bill. Well, now he's upset because he knows that he needed that money. And so he's starting to complain to his wife. And she finally reaches the point where she talks to Billy Graham and says, "Billy, in heaven, you just got credit for $1. That's it. Not what went into the offering plate, what he intended to give. Keith Moore says a lot of Christians in their ministry or their service to God have become whiny babies. I think I understand what that means. Some Christians think that always talking about the problems and suffering that they're going through in life while trying to live for God and serve God, well, that's just what you do. That's part of your life. You talk about the problems. You talk about how tough it is that you have to serve God in that way. Some people serve God with an attitude. They try to look okay on the outside for years. They expect to get to heaven and say, "Where's all the reward for all the years on the worship team or in nursery or taking out the garbage or missionary work? Where is it?" And they realize that they were not cheerful in their giving. They weren't cheerful in their giving on the worship team. They weren't cheerful in their giving at nursery. They weren't cheerful in their giving on what God called them to do in their own home and minister to their family. And they get up there and think, "I suffered through all this stuff," and they hear it didn't count. You suffered for your sake. Didn't have to be that way. The Bible talks about being willing and obedient. Some people are obedient, but they're not willing. They're going through what God told them to do, but there's undertones of grumbling and complaining. Cheerful giving is not confined to the offering basket. You don't have to prepare yourself to say, "Okay, God loves a cheerful giver, so in the 30 seconds prior to the basket coming by, I got to get my attitude together to have joyful giving," and whew, it's gone by. Now I can go back the way it was. I cleared that hurdle. We got past the offering plate. But we're not talking about monetary giving. We're talking about the rest of our ministry and rest of our life being joyful in that giving. Attitudes, resentment, offenses, bitterness, complaining. Giants and big walled cities did not keep the Hebrew children out of the promised land. Crying about it did. You have a personal relationship with God as your top priority, but the next priority includes your spouse, your kids, complaining about them, complaining about the job that you do, complaining about your lot in life, your assignment, and there is zero cha-ching in heaven. Nothing is registering. All these levels are God levels. All these levels you're graced to do. And you're giving, and if you're complaining, it's not counting. It's a waste of time. Some people are tired. They would just like to go to lunch after church today, order their last meal, like somebody that's awaiting capital punishment. Take the last slurp from the corner of the glass out of the chocolate milk, chocolate malt, and then leave and go to heaven and be done. I'm just done. I'm just done. Here's the major problem with that. First of all, no more treasures on earth going to heaven. No more glory to God being added from this earth experience. Secondly, how do you know that living a little while longer won't be destiny changing? To one more person, to one more word from the Lord, either spoken through you or acted out. I know you're tired. I know some of you are hurting. The other night I was laying in bed. It was quiet. Nothing was going on. And the thought occurred to me, I don't hurt anywhere. This morning I was kneeling down as praise and worship was going on. And I was thinking, I don't hurt anywhere. I was thrilled with that moment. There's times that I've hurt. But how wonderful. In 2 Timothy, the Apostle Paul found himself in prison in Rome. He knows by the Spirit of God that he's about to be executed. He knows that. Yet Paul's quality of life in prison at that moment was being chained in the sewer with no lights on. He's in the ministry, you understand. Yet once a month they gave him a chance to write letters because of his Roman citizenship rights. Realizing that the young pastors and young churches that he has started and that he's been mentoring will live beyond his life, he writes one final letter. Now, previous to this, in Romans chapter 15, verse 16, Paul wrote that God called him to be a minister of Christ Jesus to the Gentiles. He gave me the priestly duty of proclaiming the gospel of God so that the Gentiles might become an offering acceptable to God, sanctified by the Holy Spirit. Timothy has a Gentile father, a Jewish mother. It's kind of Paul's top right-hand man. So he decides to give Timothy final instructions through what we now perceive to be was his last will and testament. He was writing his will before his execution and thinking about who to get it to. And so in 2 Timothy 4:6, Paul says, "For I am being poured out like a drink offering, and the time for my departure is near." Notice first that Paul considers his entire Christian life as an offering, opposed to the money in the offering basket, opposed to I need to be cheerful when the basket comes by, but the rest of the time I don't have to be cheerful about my assignment. Second, I'm glad that Paul didn't stop sooner in life and that he obeyed God and wrote 2 Timothy. Certainly one of the pastoral letters to hold pastor steady. Third, if you do not have a departure date that you know of, then you take it as far as you can take it. Don't try to set your own departure date, even if someone you love left early. You finish. You might miss them, but that's only a short time. Make it count. Complaints cancel out your account. Hey, someone hacked my account in heaven. I was supposed to have this much and I don't. Somebody hacked me. That's not possible. Your complaints hacked your own account. What if you were at your own birthday party and you started opening gifts, and one by one, as each gift opened, each person who gave that gift to you began to explain to you how difficult it was for them to be able to afford the gift and that you better be thankful for it, for all the hard time it was to get this gift and get it to you. You go, well, thank you. Appreciate that. And yet we'll serve God and tell him how awful it is to serve him and how tough it is and all the stuff we have to go through. And God's going, well, thank you. We're giving this to you, Lord. Well, that's not a gift that I really wanted. I didn't want that one. Here, take it. I got you something, okay? It was our anniversary. Thank you. Don't ask to be used by God in his church, your place in the bride of Christ, and then turn around and start complaining after asking to be used by saying, they're just using me. Now, that church, they're just using me. Who asked to be used? And what do you think you're supposed to do if you ask to be used and then you're used and then you complain about being used? Declaring victim status of God? Oh, no, it's people. I'm good with God. It's people that are the problem. Really? People are the assignment. I understand that the wheat and the tares grow up together and they look the same for a long time and you're trying to figure out, are they a wheat or a tare? I don't know. It doesn't really matter. The Bible said they all grow up together. We'll sort them out later. Your obedience can produce glory to God and reward to yourself, but be canceled out by your complaining of the conditions. And you're like, well, I'm not complaining about my ministry. I'm complaining about my life. Like you can separate them? Like there's any way possible to separate your life from your ministry. Your ministry and your life should be one. Somebody recently told me that coming to church is like work. I said, I've never felt like that, ever. Sometimes I'm tired, but I've never felt like coming here is work. There's a easy load light that goes along with this. And finally, my final illustration for this morning. One day I met a man that was working on the same large construction project as my son Levi. Most of you know who he might be. And so I think, oh, you work in there? Do you know my son Levi? No, he didn't know him. I tried to explain him what he looked like. He still couldn't figure it out. There was a lot of people working on that construction site. Anybody ever hear work construction or no construction workers? I couldn't figure out how to get him to find out whether he knew Levi or not. I finally said, he's the one that's not swearing all the time and not complaining all the time. And he says, oh, I know who Levi is now. Apparently on a construction site. I know which one he is now. He's the one that's not swearing and complaining. Oh, that one stands out. I wonder how much our lives would stand out if we were that way, if that was the reputation that would follow us. Bless God. Bless God. Praise God. The whole deal this morning was this: an offering acceptable to God, I was failing. There was some murmuring, complaining. I don't think you saw it. I don't even know if Shelley saw it. Internally, I was going over some stuff. And the Holy Spirit, we were listening to a tape by Keith Moore, and the Holy Spirit put his finger on my heart and said, you know, it doesn't matter if you're a pastor or not. You can make offerings unacceptable to God. Me, Pastor Gary, can be doing things and they're not acceptable to God. If my attitude, my complaining is added to it. I mean, who wants to hear that? Have you ever known someone that every time you run into them, they've got something negative to say, and then you spot them across the room and you go, what was I doing? Quick, somebody talk to me. I didn't want to be that guy that people avoid, and I found myself sliding into that. And I got revelation, and the Holy Spirit, it felt like his hand was on my head as we were driving in the car back from Kentucky from the Ark Encounter, that full-size Noah's Ark and the Creation Museum. It changed me. In a moment of time, a word from the Lord, and I said, God, I want my offerings to be acceptable unto you. And he said, well, then you're going to have to stop complaining about stuff. I can do that. Well, except Shelley, I can still complain about her, right? Is that? No. No. Politics? Anything? No. I know. Sorry. She probably swallowed a cough drop. I don't know. Yeah. Yeah. Little adjustments, and you'll like your life better. Amen. It'll be funner. Because you're thinking, there was a day that I said to Shelley, I can't stand me. How do I get away from me? I'm going to have to be a better person, so I don't want to get away from me. You don't see what happens inside of people all the time, but that's what I go through. And boy, did my life feel lighter when that revelation came, and I saw that it was doable. Instead of just the habit of finding the negative. Because it'll be there. The negative will be all around you. I mean, the news media sells fear. That is their one product that they market. And so my life is different. I hope yours is too. I intend to have offerings acceptable unto God when I get to heaven. Praise God. Bless God. Heavenly Father, you're so good to us. Lord, we're at a Memorial Day weekend, and I just want to lift up the families of those soldiers who have died, those that have served, that you be a blessing to them. In Jesus' name, that the sacrifices of life patterned after your Son would count. Bless your holy name for them as we remember them and remember our other loved ones who have gone before and sacrificed their life on different battlefields of the spirit realm. I thank you, Lord, for them. I remember them. Praise you, Lord, for those that have gone before. Praise your holy name. Thank you for this message today. May it encourage and lift us up. May we make our adjustments and have the God kind of life that you intended. In Jesus' name, amen.